It's time for What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
Morena, Marama, how are you this morning?
Morena, I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. We've got some big ones to get stuck into today. Let's talk about the government's changes to COVID-19, mandates that we've seen roll out in the last week. Also to do with vaccination passes and scanning in. Now, the Green Party's been quite vocal that you're not very happy about this. What's your major concerns here?
Yeah, we don't support the changes to COVID protection measures. We have called on government to act urgently to keep our most at-risk communities safe. And that's our major concern here is, you know, we're still seeing, Rachel, people are dying almost every day. People are being hospitalised. Those who feel most at risk are actually feeling like they've been completely left behind, that they've been completely silenced. And so that's going to include Māori and Pacifica with our vaccination rates. It's going to include people who are immunocompromised or with health risks. It's going to include people on lower incomes for whom the wider spread has an impact on those who then need to isolate and or who get sick, who aren't able to prepare themselves and protect themselves as much as others. So particularly in schools, we're quite concerned. So some of the solutions includes making sure we've got an actual school-based vaccination program for high vaccine coverage and working with Māori and Pacifica leadership for high vaccine coverage. And then finally, one of our big things is free high-quality masks or equivalents to everyone, but starting in schools for both children and teachers, who will be at greater risk from the removal of the vaccine mandate.
Now, masking is an interesting one. We've seen, it's been for that fringe group who's been, against mandates, against masking the whole time. It's been a real, pillar for their particular anger. But we're also starting to see a bit of cultural burnout, perhaps, on masking, which is not great. Do you think we need to be seeing a better campaign to get masking or continue masking around the motu at the moment?
Yeah, and I also think that what you're referring to as cultural burnout is around the incredible misinformation campaigns and disinformation campaigns that have been operating for this entire pandemic, because the so-called, inconvenience that people often refer to is just literally not one. I think we absolutely need to understand how such a simple thing is able to provide a whole nother protection and layer of collective safety. So that's the sort of why we talk about masks as well.
Now, I do have to ask, because there's been some changes in the Green Party around your COVID-19 spokesperson after it was, revealed that Elizabeth Kerikeri, who was previously the spokesperson, had broken home isolation rules. How did this happen? This feels like a massive oversight.
Yes, and we've said that it absolutely was. When she should have known the rules, and she's also owned up to that and, the poor judgment. So, that's something that we understood was serious, which is why she lost those COVID and health portfolios. And, we alerted the authorities as well.
Got to ask you as well about what you think about how we're seeing the hospitality industry, respond and also be supported at the moment, because there's been some concerns from within the hospo industry that they are not getting the right type of support to be able to move forward, particularly with rules being changed or moved back at the moment. What would the Green Party like to see for the hospitality industry so that they're able to simultaneously, carry on and recover as we sort of move through this next stage, but also keep people safe?
Yeah, well, look, the first thing is the way to help all sectors, including the hospitality sector, is to keep people safe, is to focus on a health first, a collective health first approach, which again is, we've seen that many, many people, the risk has been individualised at this point. It's now up to you to look after yourself, and people are simply making those decisions to keep themselves safe, and many, many people are choosing to not dine in, to not frequent any places where there are crowds. And so I first want to acknowledge that this is what has happened. When, you know, when the risk starts to become individualised, well, people are going to make up their own minds. I think we have to actually look at the systemic structure of the hospitality industry and what will it actually take for it to be sustainable and enduring. And in COVID, you know, we've had to see, well, some of the sectors, I suppose, are reliant on particular things that in a pandemic world just have not been realistic. So we've actually got to not just, the question actually isn't just how do we help hospitality right now? Well, it's how do we help hospitality in the enduring time frame in the long run? And that's having a look at the entire system and what it depends on, what it relies on, you know, and thinking about what are the enduring sectors, how do we support an enduring economy that is going to be able to stand up through a pandemic context.
Well, let's talk about Tairāwhiti now. I do want to touch on the massive flooding and terrible devastation we've seen there. Unfortunately, this is not the first time we've talked about flooding, even this year on the show when we've had you on, Marama. This is becoming something we're going to see more and more with climate change. We know this. Are we moving fast enough to make sure that local and isolated communities have the resources they need to adapt and manage these ongoing problems?
No, most definitely not. And first, I want to absolutely acknowledge everyone dealing with flooding on the East Coast. That includes my mum, who lives in Ruatoria and is actually on the Waiapu River. Riverbank is where her home is. So, you know, there were a few quick, frantic phone calls. Thankfully, her part of the riverbank is up quite high because the river rose quite high. But thankfully, she was okay. Many others' lives have been completely disrupted. They've been cut off all around the coast, the supply chain being threatened, and so on and so forth. So just acknowledging that. And look, the coast has been hammered. Many other sort of rural and isolated type communities. Again, we need the long-term solutions, including the actions for a stable planet and to be able to mitigate those severe weather impacts, which some of the, I guess, the infrastructure around the roads and the access around the coast, you know, has been in question for decades, in fact. I know that our Green Climate Minister, James Shaw, is working on this from a central government level for the action required to address and adapt to risks from extreme weather events at a local level. Making sure that that work is undertaken to prepare us. But we absolutely know it's going to disproportionately affect Māori and smaller communities, so we've really got to prioritise that just transition.
There's been quite a bit of criticism of New Zealand's emphasis on emissions trading and how to reduce our emissions through the, I guess, the more sort of economic sense of managing the climate crisis. This has been, you know, widely panned by experts. Why aren't we moving in more immediate ways and moving at this kind of emissions level? Why is that happening?
Well, I think first I want to say we've seen resistance to transformational change in politics forever. We've seen people move and places of power move to protect the status quo that does rely on the ongoing exploitation of Earth and particularly the activities which will continue high emissions. So firstly, I want to acknowledge that. That's why, because we've got a global political, I suppose, movement that has moved to protect ongoing climate exploitation, Earth exploitation, that worsens climate change, and that also actually holds the wealth in the hands of the few and burdens the majority of the risk on poorer communities, on more vulnerable communities. So that's why. Secondly, you're absolutely right. We have to change our economic framework. We have to move away from an economy that relies and depends on fossil fuel extraction. And this is, you know, while we absolutely welcome the opportunity to reduce emissions across every sector, and yes, there is the, you know, which, for example, in our public transport area, the move to be able to increase our public transport infrastructure and decrease our reliance on vehicles, is a really worthy move and is a system move towards a change of how we live that will be better for everybody. So, there are some important things that need to happen through reducing emissions, and there is always going to need to be the economic transformation as well.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to jump into the news now, but thank you so much for your time this morning, Marama Davidson, co-leader of the Greens. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson.
All right.